Éclairage. Broadcasted by Canal Academy. Listen to Priscille Lafitte.
Good evening, Jacques de la Rosière.
Good evening, Priscille.
We're talking of the August financial crisis in 2007, called the U.S. subprime crisis. You have been, Jacques de la Rosière, the managing director of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the governor of the Banque de France in Paris, and you are now advisor to the chairman of a private bank called BNP Paribas in France. Jacques de la Rosière, which are the causes of the August financial crisis?
Well, I think the causes are the combination of a very abundant liquidity, a strong appetite for high yields in a context of low interest rates because of the abundance of liquidity, and therefore some underestimation of the risks involved in these higher yield instruments. Now, these crises have happened in the past, and the trigger is always a default. And what happened in August was that the structured products that were built around subprime credits were seen suddenly as of low quality because the delinquency rates on these subprime loans had skyrocketed in the first months of 2007. So the investors who, because of the securitization on which we will say a word a bit later, the investors who had bought these products, which were in fact the emanation of credits to households in the United States on the subprime market, that is the most dangerous, the most risky of mortgage markets, were suddenly confronted to the fact that these credits were of poor grading because the rating agencies had degraded them very, very fast when they saw the defaults climbing. And what happened was that those investors who had bought these structured products, as we call them now, which at their heart some of these subprime loans, suddenly were afraid of touching these asset-backed securities, as they are called, and went out of the market, that is, sold their credits, precipitating a liquidity crisis on those credit markets. That's what happened, basically, in August. So the causes are really the... I come back to that because if you don't really understand that, I think you miss the film. The causes are too much money around, very low interest rates, and therefore an extreme appetite for higher returns and therefore for a lot of risk. But that risk had not been seen as risky as it was, and therefore what we call the spreads, that is the price of the risk you take, were very low. So the combination of all this plus the defaults that are the trigger of all these crises led to this contagious process which you were alluding to.
What is this 2007 crisis different from other financial crises we had before?
Yes, well, the main difference was that it took place in the most prosperous country of the world, which is the United States, whilst the crisis that we had witnessed in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 90s also, had all originated in developing countries. This time, the developing countries were not part of the crisis. They had not engineered such dangerous and risky products as subprime lending, and eventually they were, you know, not involved in this crisis, which was much more a crisis of extreme sophistication of financial products, plus too lax monetary policies, and that combination created the crisis. So it is very different from what we knew a few years ago. One of my friends, who is an important policymaker in a large developing country, said in a seminar on these very matters we are discussing, well, this is the first time for 20 years that I participate in such seminars that I can say, this time we didn't do it. And that is true.
And how did this financial crisis spread around the global market?
Well, it spread because of the phenomenon of securitization. In the older days, which were the days of what we called intermediation, I'm sorry for these words which seem very pompous, in those days, banks used to lend money to borrowers, and they used to keep these credits on their books, waiting for the repayment of the credits. But over the last decade or so, the banks have been accustomed, and this has become more and more rapid and, I would say, significant. Banks have been accustomed to sell onto the market through vehicles that are not important to characterize, but to sell on to the markets the loans which they had initially made to borrowers. They sort of parcel these credits or have them parceled by specialists, and then they are put on the market to investors. So you understand that a very limited, in a way, problem that originates in the United States on one very specific market that does not exist abroad, and that is the subprime market, as it has developed very dangerously, I must say, in the United States, can spread out to the whole world through the mechanism of securitization. That is, these credits have become, in a way, bonds that have been bought by all sorts of institutions, be they pension funds, be they financial insurance institutions, be they what we call SICAV, mutual funds. And so it sort of spreads out.
Is this financial crisis over right now? We're mid-October 2007.
Well, I think it's a bit too early to say that it's over. It's true that things are much improving after the intervention of the Fed and the European Central Bank, which have...
And the Japanese Central Bank.
Yes,
as well.
And the Japanese, which have provided liquidity to the markets where liquidity had evaporated. So they have avoided these central banks, the seizure of these credit markets, which could have had enormous consequences worldwide. But on top of this intervention, the short-term markets, what we call commercial paper markets, commercial paper asset-backed markets, are regaining some normality, in spite of the fact that the yields, the interest rates on those short-term markets are still significantly higher than, I would say, safer products of longer maturity. So the crisis is mending itself, but of course we still have to see how financial institutions will issue their accounts. What is the magnitude of the provisions and the write-downs that they're going to have to make. And we'll also see the unfolding of the subprime market, which is still not completely manifest because of the sort of grace period. They call that a teasing period of 2 years where the borrower has practically very little to pay. So when they get out of this 2 year and the interest rates then are variable and they will be much higher than initially considered, then you will have, in a way, new generations or new waves of borrowers who will be in difficulty. So there will be sort of a repetition of problems. You know, that's the way the markets function. Mm.
Will this crisis have an impact on real economy, be it the American economy and or the European economy?
What they call the consensus, that is the view held by most economists, some being more optimistic, some being less optimistic, but the sort of average view of the profession is that there's going to be a slowdown in 2008, especially in the coming two or three quarters in the United States, but not a recession. In other terms, you will not see negative figures for more than two quarters. And the consensus is, and that's worth what it is, worth around 1.9%, I think was the last figure by the IMF. Could be a little less, but that is something that the world could cope with without many problems. Now, the real question is, in my view, the behavior of U.S. households in terms of their savings. As you know, U.S. households have practically no savings in terms of flux, that is, in terms of what they save, considering what they earn. They could, with the crisis of the real estate sector, lower prices, etc., they could reconstitute more savings, and that, of course, would be a drag on consumption. We can't yet say that that's going to happen, and therefore one has to be, I think, very cautious in making any prediction.
Thank you very much, Jacques Larosière. You are former Managing Director of the IMF. Thank you for this analysis.
Thank you very much for inviting me.